listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Ileana Dimas.
And I'm Gabe Shamai, and this is WNUR News at 6.
Tonight, changing the language of your phone.
What games Northwestern students can't stop playing.
A way to connect with lost loved ones.
A story about gossip.
And a special telephone-themed well-versed.
These stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is the Fall Quarter Special Broadcast. WNUR News plays telephone.
But Gabe, today is not the typical WNUR news show.
You're right. It is an extra long broadcast themed around telephone stories. So that can be childhood games like telephone,
miscommunications and gossip,
or about how people use their phones today. Northwestern students are immersing themselves in foreign languages right here in Evanston using an unconventional tool, their phones. Ella Alexander talks to students to find out, is living with your phone in a foreign language a great learning strategy or just a troublesome language barrier?
To take their immersion to the next level here in Evanston, some Northwestern students have changed the language setting on their phones to foreign languages they hope to learn. As a result, they've faced new vocabulary, sticky situations, and even some horror stories. Does this strategy actually work? Let's hear from some students to find out. Now that she's satisfied Northwestern's language requirement, Wallace Rogin is using her phone to stay in touch with the language.
In general, I feel like it's helped in terms of the way I feel like you learn a language is to immerse yourself in it and keep yourself exposed to it.
While she's still using many apps in Spanish to help her learn, she had to switch her Uber app back to English after a stressful experience. While she was alone at the airport, she got lost trying to find her Uber driver and was almost stranded.
I was Ubering, I didn't switch it, and so I was like trying to Uber, trying to find out, and I was like by myself at like an airport trying to call an Uber, and I didn't know where he was trying to tell me where to go because it was all translating to Spanish and I could not find him.
Uber is not the only app causing problems for these students. LinkedIn and Google Maps have also served as sources of language-related struggles for Northwestern students such as first-year Eliza Goldwasser.
I was on LinkedIn and I was like updating my profile or like adding things, and like I was doing it in English, but then like I checked back like 2 days later and my whole LinkedIn is in Italian, like for other people to see.
While turning her LinkedIn profile into Italian was a funny faux pas, things got serious on the highway.
Yeah, so I did get my sinistra and destra mixed up, which is left and right, on the highway. I was just driving, and it was like, it was so stupid because I get overwhelmed on the highway anyway, and it was like, take the like right exit. I'm like, what? And I was like, what? Right? Like this is left. And I like missed it, and it was not good.
Despite feeling embarrassed and even scared by these experiences, Eliza doesn't regret changing her phone to Italian. She feels it's helped with vocab, reading, and general memory skills.
Like seeing my phone, seeing the date in Italian every day, it definitely does help like remind me and keep me in like the Italian mindset, and just like one other way to kind of integrate language more into your life.
Another student that's happy he's chosen to live with his phone in a foreign language is Danny Morrison. Since he feels that learning languages isn't his strong suit, changing his phone to French has given him an unconventional and constant outlet to practice the language outside of the classroom.
You're never forgetting that you, like, can read the language. You're never forgetting that you, like, interact with the language. So it's mostly good for just constant exposure.
While this strategy may help Danny learn French, it almost cost him in a big way when a sketchy email appeared in his mailbox. Because of this language barrier, Danny almost put his phone and his personal information at risk.
It sent me an email. I clicked the link because it looked normal. And Apple was telling me, like, get off of the site. This is going to give your phone a virus. It was in French. So I didn't know what to do. So I, like, so it kicked me off. I tried to re-access it. And then I was like, wait, that says virus and that I should not go here. Okay, I'm going to stop. But I almost accidentally downloaded a virus onto my phone.
These anecdotes beg the questions. Is it worth it to change your phone to a foreign language you hope to learn? And are these foreign mishaps learning experiences or disasters waiting to strike? For WNUR News, I'm Ella Alexander.
There are some really fun games you can play on your phone. Wordle, Candy Crush, Clash Royale, Roblox. These are just some of the mobile games that have kept people glued to their screens. Olivia Payne spoke to Northwestern students to see what games they had on their phones.
Mobile games are a popular pastime for both kids and adults, as they give users a quick way to have fun, challenge their mind, or escape from the stresses of the day. Many people have a variety of games downloaded, but is that the case everywhere? In such a high-stress environment, do Northwestern students still have games on their phone? McCormick's second year, Shaylee Fabio, has many different games she likes to play in her free time.
I have Minecraft, Roblox, Wordscapes, Heyday, I love Heyday, Happy Color, which is like a coloring game, and then Animal Restaurant, which is just like a restaurant simulator game.
For those unfamiliar, Animal Restaurant is a management simulation game that stays true to its name and features different animals working in and developing a restaurant. These cute cartoon games are perfect for when Fabia wants to relax.
When I'm like winding down for bed, like I like to watch YouTube videos, like long form YouTube videos on like random stuff, and then I'll play a game on my phone. Or like when I'm watching movies, I like to play a game.
Relaxing or cozy games have grown in popularity since 2020, with games like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley leading the genre. Communications sophomore Sarth Waits finds a balance between calming and challenging when it comes to her games.
I have New York Times games. I play that every day. Block Blast. It's like off-brand Tetris game. And then I have Star Brew Cafe, which is just like a cute little cozy merging game.
Waits isn't alone in her enthusiasm. The New York Times games, such as Wordle, Connections, and the Mini, became well-known in 2022 and have become a favorite of many students. Thwaites now sees them as part of her daily routine.
I, like, got into the whole New York Times games trend back when I started, so it was just, like, a habit. It's not even, like, a game to me anymore.
For communications student Jordana Lenahan, mobile games were most important in her childhood.
I was definitely a Subway Surfer kind of girl. Mm. I really like Subway Surfer. I also had Roblox. That's what I did when I was, like, younger.
But now, Lenahan has offloaded most of the games on her phone.
When I watch TV or something, I like to, like, have another thing going on. But I'd download them because I would, like, instead of doing homework, I'd just be, like, playing them.
First-year Josiah Ijala takes a different approach to playing games on his phone.
I use my phone as like an emulator for the most part. I usually emulate SNES games, Genesis games, PS1, PS2, and Dreamcast games.
Super Nintendo Entertainment System, or SNES games, can't typically be played on a mobile device. Emulation opens up a new world of mobile gaming by allowing games of the past to be played on devices of today.
So you download a software that allows your phone to act like a different console. It's a different one for different emulators. Like there's like Citra for 3DS, there's like Vita 3K for PS Vita, there's RetroArch for PS1, and then there's like SNES 9X for SNES games.
So whether it's childhood favorites, the hottest new trends, or innovations in gaming, by and large, Northwestern students do have games on their phone. For WNUR, I'm Olivia Payne.
While we still cannot call the dead, wind phones may provide those grieving an opportunity to reconnect with their lost loved ones. Chris Kim catches wind of the story and listens in.
South of Isabella Street, on the Evans at Canal Shore's 11th golf hole, a bright red telephone booth stands out against the surrounding trees. Signposted as the telephone of the wind, the disconnected rotary phone inside allows users to pass a message to the dead.
It is a phone that people can pick up and talk to their loved ones as a symbolic gesture.
Psychotherapist and Evanstonian Mary Leopold organized the installment of Evanston's wind phone in 2023, 2 years after her son Oliver passed away.
There were things that we did in Oliver's honor, and the wind phone is one of them.
Wind phones originated in Otsuchi, Japan in 2010 when garden designer Itaru Sasaki set up an old telephone booth to talk with his deceased cousin.
I was so drawn to the idea that then I did research and learned all about it. And I had the idea to bring one here to our community.
Leopold says people appreciate having an open space to grieve.
It's often not done publicly, right? It's sort of behind closed doors. And it's not something that happens openly in our society.
Creating community around mourning has helped Leopold with her own loss. Some of her activities include painting rocks honoring deceased loved ones and meeting at the wind phone with fellow bereaved mothers.
I think for me and my grief, any way to connect, in my case, with other moms, other parents, has been really important in terms of my process because I just don't feel so alone.
Wind phones have been a global phenomenon. Amy Dawson, the founder of the website, Facebook group, and Instagram account for My Wind Phone, has mapped 361 Wind phones in the United States and 525 phones internationally. She started tracking Wind phones in 2022. Over the past 3 years, she's watched this online community grow.
There's just so many wonderful people that find great comfort and healing in a Wind phone that join the community and help and talk and share ideas. And it's been such a beautiful thing to watch.
Her interest began after her daughter, Emily, died 2 weeks into the COVID-19 pandemic.
The Wind phone and my daughter, I believe, like helped me shift my perspective on death. And I thought if it could help me the way it has, then it could help other people.
MyWindPhone.com also spotlights Wind phone variations such as traveling Wind phones, alongside resources on how to create one yourself.
Maybe you don't live close enough to visit one, or maybe you don't have the ability, or you're not comfortable. But you see a picture of someone who's created their own space for grief, and it might inspire you to create your own.
The Wind phone provides a line to remember the deceased, and for some, like Leopold, it is also a way to connect with the surrounding community that she says has helped to navigate life without her son.
And that's sort of the only way I know how to manage my grief, is just to keep connecting with people and thinking of ways that Oliver would have connected.
For WNUR, this is Chris Kim.
Versions of the game Telephone have been around for centuries, but it's more than just a silly childhood game. You didn't hear it from us, but telephone, or gossip as we call it in real life, is a cornerstone of human social interaction. Tilly Freed and Georgia Carrion will let you in on the secret.
First, a statement gets mumbled down a line of players. Along the way, they may or may not mischievously mishear and miscommunicate the tidbit. Then, what's announced at the end sounds completely unrecognizable from what was first said. Think you haven't played telephone since elementary school? Chances are you never actually stopped. It goes by a different name, but gossip is essentially the same game. To hear about the woes, and even the pros, of gossip, I went where all age groups converge and where whispers are welcome, the Evanston Public Library. Summer is 32 years old. She said that she likes to listen to gossip, but she called gossip a generally negative thing.
It's always felt very high school-y, even as an adult.
When I talked to Summer, she admitted that her recent gossip had backfired.
I was actually just gossiping to my friend about my other friend this morning on FaceTime. And I think it got taken, like, I think they communicated, and I think it got taken the wrong way. All I was doing was expressing care, and I think she got offended. So now I'm like, this just happened this morning. So yeah. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say anything to anybody. So. Yeah.
If games have rules, then gossip should too. But what exactly are the rules? And who gets to decide them?
I think it's fine if you're talking to someone who's not also their friend. If I talk to a stranger about it, fine. But if I'm talking to like one of our mutual friends, then it gets back to her. That's the problem. That's what the problem is. It's like a game of telephone and things get misconstrued.
Summer is not alone in her struggle to determine when to play the gossip game. 10-year-old Aura navigates the same question.
Sometimes I don't like pass on the gossip because I don't want them to feel bad. And I don't want them to get mad at me. But, like, if it's just a joke, then I tell it to other people. But, like, if it's, like, a crush, I won't tell the person that they're talking about.
But not everyone believes that you can gossip harmlessly. Kevin is a 71-year-old Chicagoan. There is no gray area in how he defines gossip. It's the sharing of unverified or confidential information. And it's something that you never want to be known for.
You'd almost feel like sinking into a hole, so to speak. Right? You like to be above the fray, and I think you develop when people trust you, and you don't violate their trust. That then it begets more trust, and then once you versus the person that trusts you something, and then you violate that trust, and it's kind of like they're never going back to you with anything. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin's rule for gossip. Cut it off.
If you're going down that path, you might just proactively say, I don't feel comfortable with where this is headed. You know, that's kind of how I would stop it. You know, rather than it being like a 10-minute gossip session, you kind of get it at the beginning, you know.
And if you let it spiral out of control, it can have big consequences, as Aura notes.
Because if you tell the wrong person, then they're going to tell everyone in the entire school.
But if gossiping can be so bad, why do we do it? Here's Aura's mom, Ashuma.
It is a way that people in our society bond.
And experts agree. Researchers from Stanford University and the University of Maryland published a study in 2024 about why gossip has endured over time within all sorts of social groups. For one, they found that gossip could be a survival tool that teaches us about others' reputations and who we can trust. But it can also teach us how to behave properly, so we aren't the subject of bad gossip. And when gossip seems like a game of telephone gone wrong, it's still a form of entertainment, stress relief, and social bonding. But how do we keep our game of telephone from turning harmful? Here's Ashuma again.
I think you just have to consider the person who's being discussed, just consider their feelings and, you know, is this something you'd be willing to say around them or have them know that you said it? And how would that feel?
According to Merriam-Webster, the word gossip originally comes from the Old English combination of god and sib, which refers to someone of close personal and spiritual connection. Kevin stays true to this etymology. He believes that if you're giving away someone's personal details, it should be only to your inner circle. Under those parameters, he was able to process issues in his marriage with his friends.
So after about a year, there's about one or two couples I trusted mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. And I actually asked them I needed some one-on-one time and share what was going on. But I didn't feel, if someone said, well, were you sharing gossip with them? I was sharing information that was affecting my life, and I didn't have a sense of anybody. I mean, it's like you're talking to yourself about it, but I just looking for some sense of support and some sense of feedback, like, what would you do?
Because as much fun as a game of telephone can be, nobody wants to get wires crossed.
Would you, like, say you want to gossip less in the future when you get older?
Yeah. I'd want to listen to it less and also give it less,
For WNUR News, I'm Tilly Freed, with production help from Georgia Kerrigan.
We have some poetry coming up next. A poetry form that plays with the idea of reinterpretation, much like the childhood game of telephone, Sonnet Crowds. Ileana, you worked on this one, sharing a selection from Bruce Snyder's Sonnet Crown called Devotions.
When you play the game of telephone, you sit in a circle and whisper a secret phrase to the person next to you. Once the phrase gets passed all the way around the circle, the last person shares what the phrase has been turned into. A sonnet crown is a poetic game of telephone. Sonnet crowns consist of multiple sonnets, with the last line of the first sonnet being the first line of the second sonnet, and so on and so forth. The last line of each sonnet transforms and adapts as it bleeds into the next sonnet, creating a beautifully interwoven poetic sequence. Today, I will be reading an excerpt from Bruce Snyder's Sonnet Crown, entitled Devotions. Bruce Snyder is a contemporary poet from rural Indiana whose writing often revolves around the queer pastoral, everyday life, and absence and loss. Devotions is a moving sonnet crown about a gay couple struggling to adopt a child, and I particularly love how narrative-driven it is. Here is an excerpt of Devotions by Bruce Snyder. 1. Nothing passes, Lord, but what you allow. Mornings the milky sap on my knuckles burns. Last night the piglets fought, then suckled in the barn. Still no word. Our one cow grazes, but won't come in. The pamphlets say patience is required. I say let's try again, but John blames the state, the neighbors, the way we wrote our bios, filling out the forms. Across the road, our neighbor starts his truck, while God, feather by feather, downs a wren. Swollen, its black eye shiny, small, dark tongue. In the drain pipe, something slithers wet and stuck. A race runner, a ground skink shedding skin. Lizards, John tells me, can't bear live young. 2. John tells me, lizards can't bear live young. Another of God's mysteries, hard rain muddying the corn. The kind woman at the agency said it takes longer for certain types of couples. Trash smoke rises like a prayer. The neighbor burning insulation from his shed. He shows his son how to bind a fence where a crippled chicken pecks at scattered feed. They talk, lean close. Rusted toys fill the side yard. Old trucks, a bicycle tire, a punctured red bucket, now a sieve.
In the back acre, Ram mounts you, the whole field coupling late spring. When John walks by, I kiss him. Most days we keep to ourselves. 3. I kiss him most days. We keep to ourselves by the roadside. 2 greasy boxes, a sign. 3. We take the runt, her warm body beside us in the truck, milk-breathed and unwormed. I imagine her shuddering out of the womb, wet ground covered with slime. Strange to think of her moving inside some animal's gut, the source of each day's warm alien kick. At home, John makes her a bed from old field shirts, a soap and vinegar bath for fleas, while in my lap she chews my hand and shivers. I brush her fuzzy scruff, the too large head. She nips at my finger that holds a piece of cheese, her wet tongue asking what a man can mother. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of our special broadcast. For WNUR News, I'm Ileana Dimas.
Ileana, in the meantime, your favorite miscommunication. You got a story for us?
I don't know if I can think of any in my personal life. This is sort of relevant, but more modern. When Jeffrey Goldberg got added to the group chat with Pete Hegseth by accident, and they did in fact like breach some matters of national security while he was on the group chat, and then he wrote an article about it, caused some drama. I also remember, like, right after this happened, I went to a Model UN conference, actually, at Northwestern, and one of the people that was in press corps, which was my committee, was Jeffrey Goldberg, and he, like, incorporated into his speech, and everyone thought it was...
Jeffrey Goldberg came to campus?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was a delegate that was representing him
in press corps. Gotcha.
Yeah, and everyone thought he was really funny for talking about it, but yeah, that's probably one that I can think of that happened recently, at least.
Yeah, I love the first-person narrative in that story, too. It's very much like, I didn't know what was going on, but I thought it might have been what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, turns out it likely was. On my end, I think I'm gonna go a little more historical. I've always been interested in the topic of, like, famous disputes and settlements and everything, and when people disagree over very serious things, and I done a story on this last year. Rutherford B. Hayes is, one of the most forgotten U.S. presidents, but he famously is a hero in the country of Paraguay for settling a dispute over there. They had a land dispute between Argentina and Paraguay, and they needed an international mediator, and, along comes Rutherford B. Hayes, did his research. So according to the historians who work at his presidential libraries, apparently he had several books in his office about Latin America and Paraguay in particular. And yeah, that was the settlement. And then today they have holidays in his honor. They have states and cities named after him. But in the meantime, I think that is all we have for you for this quarter's special broadcast, our special once a quarter extra long broadcast. Ileana, would you like to take us home?
Yes, for more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts.
Our producer today is the wonderful Georgia Kerrigan, and our reporters are Ella Alexander, Olivia Payne, Mariah Petway, Chris Kim, Georgia Kerrigan, Tilly Freed, and Ileana Dimas. I'm Gabe Shumway.
And I'm Ileana Dimas. Catch our next newscast Monday, November 10th.
In the meantime, back to scheduled programming.